I am not an expert. I've never published a book or taught a class. I've never even put anything in a quilt show. But I love quilting, and I love talking about quilting. I make a lot of mistakes, but I like to think that sometimes I learn from them and get just a little bit better. If hearing about someone else's goofs and mess-ups makes you feel better about yours, then I've done my job. Join me as we talk about quilting for the rest of us. Hey, I'm Sandy, and I'm a quilter, and welcome to episode 55, in which we talk about desert islands, and we'll get back to those islands later. First and always foremost, I want to start by saying thank you so much for listening. I do very much appreciate it, and I particularly appreciate it when you talk back to me, and hopefully in a nice tone of voice. I get enough of the other kind here. You know, even though my kids are almost no longer teenagers, it still happens. I hate to tell you, those of you who have young kids, there are some things that just never quite stop, but in any case, we'll get back to the whole, growing up kids and everything in a little bit. But again, thank you very much for listening. Thanks for sending your comments and keep them coming. I do want to apologize a little bit, although, you know, to be honest, I do this for fun, so I'm not going to make myself feel too bad about the fact that I did not post for the last couple of weeks. I believe my last episode was posted on June 21st. On June 25th, I believe it was, yes, it must have been the 25th, my daughter graduated from high school, and that week was full of stuff, just stuff. We had family in from out of town. My niece, her cousin, graduated the night before. She did. They're within a month of each other. So there were dinners, and my kids went to her graduation, as well as all of us going to my daughter's graduation. Dinners and lunches, and then, of course, the grad party the next day for both of them and all of the family. So it was just a really, really busy week, and that meant the following Sunday, I pretty much just crashed, and we had kind of a pajama day on Sunday, which was really nice. And then, just really interestingly, I think it's kind of a combination of things. It is, yes, there's some empty nesting going on, and I'm kind of working through sort of the philosophical side of things, and I'm thinking there might actually be an episode coming out of it, but that's going to wait until August when I actually have time to think, because at the same time as the empty nesting, this is my super, super crunch time at work. I leave Monday for our national board meetings, and then followed by our concurrent women's and girls' conferences, and as staff, I'm, you know, really involved in all of those, less so in the women's conference. I staff the girls' gathering. But in any case, it's almost two full weeks with travel time that I'll be gone. And just, you know, the amount of preparation that has to happen for those events means I've been working a little bit later, but mostly much more intensely, you know, just kind of a nonstop, really nose to the grindstone days. So by the time I get done with work at the end of the day, it's the last thing I want to do to be back on the computer. I really have been avoiding computer stuff at night much more so than usual. You know, I'll periodically get onto Facebook and post something or do a little bit of tweeting or read people's blogs or whatever. But for the most part, I'm not on the computer nearly as much these last few weeks that I have been, because I just needed the break. Flip side, I've been getting a lot more reading done again. I'll talk more about that later because we have some great book-related comments that I want to share with you. So that's been kind of my life lately. You know, we all go through those times, and I'm sorry, I would love to have been able to podcast, but it was both not having the time and the energy really to podcast, but also not having a whole lot to talk about, because in all of this, I have done zip, zilch, zero sewing, quilting, cutting, anything. I periodically pet my fabric as I walk back by it, but that's about it. Right now, my cutting table is covered with stuff that I'm getting ready to pack to go on my trip with me. You know, all the prep stuff I have to do, and all the equipment I got to bring with me. I'm going to have a boatload of crud in the back of my car like I usually do. So that's all starting to accumulate, and my sewing machine is, you know, peering up its little head up from behind all of that saying, oh, please. But, you know, I'll get home, I'll clean it all off when I'm done, and then I have high hopes for August. So, you know, basically this time of year, my mantra is, it'll be okay in August. Just get to August. August will be fine. Now, last year at this time, I also got through by thinking, you know, just get through to August. August will be fine. August is low key. And then my son's appendix ruptured in August. So hopefully this year, August really will be relaxed and okay. So anyway, that's kind of just been my life. Again, I leave Monday. I come home on the 23rd. I will have some intermittent email access during that time and internet access, but not a whole lot. But I will still be able to see when you're commenting, and I'll be able to read your comments. I may just not always be able to respond. So as I always say when I'm about to go away on business, you know, please send up a flare. Let me know there's another world out there. I do always appreciate getting my little quilty fixes, as small and short as they may be, when I'm doing these events. So do keep talking to me. I will appreciate it, even if I'm not always able to talk back. The one thing I do look forward to, I drive, and the our conference center where we're going to be, I'm going to be in Milwaukee the first week, and then the second week I'll be in the center of Wisconsin. And so I drive up there, and I stay halfway is in the Toledo area, so I stay overnight in the Toledo area. On the way there, I don't do anything. I just get there, I get to my hotel, because I'm usually still madly trying to prep some stuff on my computer the last night before I actually arrive while I'm alone in my hotel. And then, but on the way home, it's a different matter. What I do is I drive from the conference center to Shipshewana, which is Indiana, I think. And Shipshewana is a wonderful Amish community, although it's more commercial than it is true Amish at this point. But there's a fantastic restaurant there called the Blue Gate. It's huge, absolutely huge. And they specialize in Amish style food. And okay, to be fair, you know, if I went there any other time, it would probably seem like a fair to middling restaurant. I mean, it's good food, but it's not extraordinary. But coming at it from 2 weeks of eating conference center food, it is like manna from heaven. I get to that restaurant and I'm just, oh, loving every single taste I get, because it doesn't taste like it's coming out of a can and it hasn't been sitting under heat lamps, you know, in the buffet line for hours waiting for me to get to it. So I always look forward to having dinner at the Blue Gate. And then I go to Lolly's, which is a wonderful, huge fabric quilting shop in Shipshewana. The prices used to be a lot better. For those of you who have Amish communities near you, you know that often you can buy fabric much more cheaply than in other places, at least here in New York State. You can usually, if you go to an Amish fabric store, you can get fabric $2 to $3 a yard less than what it is in normal quilt shops, and it is quilt shop quality. Don't even ask me how. You know, I don't know whether it's a taxation thing or what the issue is, or whether they just really don't try to make a profit off the fabric. I don't know how they can do it, but it is high quality quilt shop quality fabric, and it's usually less expensive. That used to also be the case at Lolly's in Shipshewana, but I think it's probably become such a tourist mecca now that it kind of drove the prices up. And now I wouldn't say the fabric there is that much less expensive than what I get at home, but it's just a huge store. They have wonderful, wonderful displays. They do a great job at putting their displays, like they'll take a book and then they'll put a sample of, you know, a project from that book there, and then they'll put a bunch of kits for projects in that book right there, kind of all in the same display. And I know that's pretty common among quilt shops. It's just kind of the way they do it. Somebody, whoever does their display designs, has a real eye for it, because they're very, very attractive. And mind you, I am so completely fried by the time I'm coming home from this conference. I mean, I'm so tired, like my teeth are numb, you know, that kind of exhausted. So making decisions is completely beyond me. I never go there and think, oh, I've got certain projects, I need certain fabrics, because I would screw it up. You know, I don't have the brain power. So having those displays with, you know, here's the kit for that project right there is wonderful, because I don't have to think. So I usually come home with something, some years more than others, and it's been a few years. Our conference used to always be at the same conference center, and now we've started moving around. So it's been 3 or 4 years since I've been able to make this stop, and I'm really looking forward to it. And from my family's perspective, it's a nice way for me to unwind before I get home. So I do this where I stop at Lolly's, I go to dinner at the Blue Gate, and then I get to my hotel, which is in the same place where I stayed on the way there. It's still Toledo, so it's like an hour beyond Shipshewana. But I still get into my hotel at like 7 o'clock at night, and I just crash and sleep for like 14 hours. And then I leave whenever I can the next day. And, you know, it's like another 7-hour drive home. So it's not too bad. And by the time I get home, I'm much more human than if I were to just go, you know, straight home or whatever. So it's, that's a nice break. And I am looking forward to that. But that being said, that means I get home on the 23rd. I'll probably still sleep for another couple of days. And then the week following, I will start to come back to normal. Sandy will come back and live in my house again. And it'll be nice. I really do hope to get my hands back on some fabric and get some sewing done at that point. Okay, so on to this episode. This episode has pretty much none of me in it and all of you, which I absolutely love. Not only do I think I honestly have the funniest listeners in the world, I love your comments. They're just a hoot, and also extremely useful. But it also means I haven't really had to take the time to put together a lot today. All I did was kind of organize things a little bit. But I did get a lot of comments. Now, partly that, you know, it always helps when you leave a couple of weeks between episodes. People have a little more time to catch up with you. But I do want to give a shout out to Kathleen, because I believe she's a new listener, I think, if I understood her comment correctly. So hey, Kathleen, glad to have you on board. And she also made me laugh because she said, by the way, I'm a big knitter, just saying. So Kathleen, I forgive you. In any case, you know, someday I probably will end up knitting. I am very, very aware of that. Someday when I have a little more time and want to branch out a little bit. But at the moment, no, not going to do it. Now, if you recall, I had a drawing for a Claire Donahue book. And I also want to say, and this just is very ironic, guess who won? Kathleen! So you started listening to the podcast at exactly the right time. So congratulations, Kathleen. No, that was not rigged. I did not do that on purpose. It was a random number generator drawing, as always. So Kathleen, I'm also going to be shooting you an email in case you don't listen to this episode right away. Hopefully I'll be able to get your address quick enough to get your book in the mail to you before I leave. Otherwise, you won't get it until August. So I'll be in touch with you and congratulations. I hope you enjoy the book. Now, all the comments that I got for the book drawing, I just want to capsulize all the books that got recommended. A lot of folks that left their comments did recommend a book to me. And I have to say, some of these I'm aware of. A couple of them I have actually read, but some of them I had not. So I'm going to be doing some exploring of my own. So here are the books that were recommended. Nicholas Sparks's The Notebook, actually anything by Nicholas Sparks was recommended. A book entitled Color the Sidewalk for Me by Brandolyn Collins. Louise Penny's Inspector Gamache. G-A-M-A-C-H-E. Not sure how you pronounce that. And the Three Pines series. Geraldine Brooks's novels March and People of the Book. Lisa Lee's novel Snowflower and the Secret Fan, which I have read. That was very, very good. Marcus Borg's Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. And I have not read that book. I have read other Marcus Borg books, excellent books. Anything by Frances O'Rourke Dowell. And I won't tell you who made that particular recommendation because she is biased. But other than that, I will also agree because I've now read a few Frances O'Rourke Dowell books. And although they are young adult novels, they are still enjoyable by adults. And in case you don't recognize her name, Frances O'Rourke Dowell is Frances of Off-Kilter Quilt fame. So yes, she is also author of many wonderful books. By the way, the person who recommended Frances was not Frances herself. I decided I should make that clarification because Frances might think I was saying she was the one who recommended herself and was biased, and that is not the case. It was somebody else. Barbara Kingsolver's book Animal Vegetable Miracle, and Sacagawea by Anna Lee Waldo, and finally In the Sanctuary of Outcasts by Neil White. And that book was, I think, specifically in reference to the fact that I mentioned I had just read Molokai. In the Sanctuary of Outcasts is a book about a man who, I read the brief synopsis of it on the back, you know, on Amazon. I have not actually read the book, but it's about a leper prison, I guess, in New Orleans. And so it just kind of follows that same theme. So I'm definitely interested in reading that as well. So thank you all of you who left comments for the book drawing. I'm sorry to those of you who did not win the book, but I do appreciate that you have now all added many books more to my to-be-read list. As a follow-up to that, I plowed through, actually, the entire Hunger Games trilogy last week. Partly over the holiday weekend, over the 4th of July, my daughter and I, and actually my son, he drove himself, so I don't count. My daughter and I were in the same car, went up to our family cottage, the family that I was born into. My dad built our family cottage when my mother was pregnant with me, I think. And by cottage, read that as very rustic, very, very rustic cottage, but it's up on the shores of Lake Ontario, so it's a nice place to go in the summer. And my whole, almost all of my side of the family went up for the 4th of July weekend, and I went up for part of the weekend because my husband stayed home, so I sort of split the difference. I went up for part of the weekend with my family, and then I came home early and had a day home alone with my husband, day and a half. But in that time, had lots of reading time, so I did get through the whole Hunger Games trilogy. And I really, really enjoyed it. Again, it's written for young adults. I would say older young adults. It kind of depends on what your child is used to reading. But I really enjoyed it. The idea itself wasn't necessarily what made the book compelling to me. For somebody who's read a lot of sci-fi fantasy, the idea, the basic idea itself was not particularly unique, but her characters were really, really good. And the way she fleshed out this particular the storyline was very, very good. I mean, the idea of having, to the death competitions that people watch for fun and entertainment, that's been done in fantasy novels before. And that's kind of, the central focus of this novel. But the way she plays it out, the characters she builds are just really, really engaging. And there are some kind of twists and turns within it that keep you, that it didn't feel particularly predictable to me. And she did also, the author did also deal with the emotional ramifications of the circumstances on the characters very well. This wasn't just, sort of these, flat characters kind of going through the motions. She really does go into what does this do to their psyche, which is really, really good. Now, you have to read all three of the books of the trilogy for that to really be fleshed out. But it was very good. I had only bought the first book to begin with, and I kid you not, the second I finished it, I'm reading these on my Kindle, so the second I finished it, I went into the Kindle store and immediately downloaded the second two and started reading the second one right away because I didn't want to have to wait to figure out, where it was going. So I really do highly recommend those. And again, I think I said this last time, thank you to Tanisha of Crafty Garden Mom for reviewing those, and she's really the one that kind of turned me on to the Hunger Games. And now I've mentioned them now to several other people to say, you really should read these. They're very good. In any case, so now I'm reading A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, which I'm enjoying so far, but I'm only about 10% in, so I can't say much more about that at this point. Okay, it is time for the fun stuff. Now, remember we talked about those desert islands earlier in this episode? Here we are actually about to be stranded on our desert island. And in fact, it's hot enough out here for me to even kind of believe this. And we haven't even gotten that much rain, so maybe this isn't too far off reality at the moment. Okay, I had posted a question in both Big Tent, in the Quilting for the Rest of Us subgroup to the Quiltcast supergroup, and the same question also got posted on the Quilting for the Rest of Us Facebook page, and I got responses in both places. And it was just so much fun reading everybody's responses, so thank you for all of you who played along. The initial question that I posted was, if you were stranded on a desert island with all the standard sewing supplies plus food, clothing, shelter, water, what three other quilting-related tools would you absolutely have to have with you and why? And then I listed, here's the standard quilting supplies that are already on this desert island, and hey, I want to visit any desert island that comes equipped with these things. Sewing machine plus your standard foot pedal, etc. Your sewing cabinet, table, and chair, sewing needles and sewing thread, ironing board and iron, cutting table, mat, rotary cutter. And then I said, rulers are up for grabs, though, if you have one particular size or brand you wouldn't go without. And then fabric. I did also provide fabric on the desert island, although I wasn't very specific about it. Basically, what I was trying to get at was, other than the kind of obvious things, I didn't want to just say what supplies and then have everybody say, well, a sewing machine, that's kind of a little obvious. So I tried to get beyond what the obvious were, and I really wanted to know what were sewing tools, quilting tools, that people really feel are necessary to their day-to-day quilty happiness and couldn't do without? Because I think that's useful for all of us to hear, especially if we're beginners. You know, you may not be entirely sure what are the things I really should have in order to start out. So I thought it would just be kind of a fun way to get at that. So here's some of the responses from Big Tent. Lady Rags, a.k.a. Noni of Noni's Quilting Dreams, said rulers, 24-inch by 6.5 or 8.5 is a must. Creative Grids, standard sets of squares. She has the entire collection. Now, mind you, I didn't say she could bring them all with her to the desert island. So if she shows up with a big stash, we may have to, make her select a few. She also said that she would have her EQ, either version 6 or 7, and a printer and a laptop so she could print out patterns and design her quilts. She also would want to bring her lights so she could see what she was doing. She would want her new Kay Buckley scissors, small and large. She says she loves them. And then she says, my grandson, even when he is crabby and wants her undivided attention. And she finishes by asking, could I still podcast on my laptop? Yeah, we would be posting podcasts from that desert island. Of course, I did not solve the question of where's the electricity coming from, but let's not worry about that. So Lady Rags did a little more than 3 items, but now you know what things are really flipping her quilty switch lately. Wishful Thinking said, quilting books and magazines. And she says she also is assuming there will be internet access so she can bring her laptop and keep up with all the quilting blogs and podcasts. So there's 2 votes for making sure they have a laptop with them. Quilted Magnolia, who is also known as Katie of Katie's Quilting Corner podcast, says we're assuming we'll have unlimited fabric. And I believe, yes, I said later, we'll assume you have at least a reasonable supply of all your favorite fabric that will last you until you figure out how to weave new fabric out of palm fronds. So, you know, I'm giving you the basics, anything special you would want to know. Anyway, back to Quilted Magnolia, she says, if we are talking about notions only, she would choose a large pack of die-cut 1-inch English paper piecing hexagons, about 3,000 or so, a bunch of Quilt Smart interfacing kits to make Lone Star quilts, and such, and then her corgi applique templates. Okay, Tuan MCG says, well, unfortunately for me, I have to make sure I have a seam ripper, also a portable Otlite and my Omnigrid 6x24 ruler. And then if she could sneak a 4th item in, either her laptop or iPhone for listening to podcasts. And then she says, Sandy, I now have this great visual of me on a beach on a desert island sewing away on my Bernina while a gentle breeze is blowing and the palm trees sway. Love it. So glad I could give you an opportunity for a little mental vacation. Pam, the head rhombus of Hip to Be a Square podcast, says, I would take my Teflon iron shoe, which makes any iron glide smoothly over fabric and also enables a higher temp to be used on all fabric types. Graph paper can't stop the nerd from coming out. That's what she says, not me. And her favorite mechanical pencil. Salamander 2 says, my serger, dulled awl, A-W-L, used to guide fabric underfoot. In other words, like a stiletto, but she has a dulled awl. And my little super sharp scissors. And then she also adds a 4th, sunglasses and sunscreen. So Excited Quilts says, Fonz and Porter quilting gloves for free motion quilting, paper, plain and graph, and pencils, colored and mechanical, for planning quilts and quilting designs, rulers. If I could bring 4, would be Omnigrid 6x24, Omnigrid 3x14, Omnigrid 2.5-inch square, and the Fonz and Porter half and quarter ruler, which she just discovered and loved it. But then she says if she could only bring 1, it would have to be the 6x24, which I probably would too. You know, I actually never answered this question myself. I'll have to think about it. Jill says, Omnigrid 6x24 ruler, walking foot for the machine, a big fat... sorry, that was not a good place to mess up what I was saying. A big fat book of patterns and maybe a lifeline to an internet fabric supplier with free shipping. Although, might I say, you know, if we're all on the same desert island, it sounds like some people would design quilts for other people to make. So maybe you wouldn't need the fat book of patterns. Janet's Nina says, I would want to have a free motion foot for my machine, my binders that hold my patterns that I've collected, and quilting gloves. So we heard a few people saying quilting gloves. bunch of people saying computers and internet access, which tells us, you know, what time we are in these days. 6x24 ruler by Omnigrid got a lot of votes. And then various ways of designing quilts, either computer or by pencil. So thank you to everybody who contributed in Big Tent. Now I'm going over to Facebook. Again, the same question. Anne, who, if I recall, is Anne of Green Stitch, another great podcast, says, a seam ripper. I'm a realist. Which, I loved that response. Thank you, Anne. Holly says, a seam ripper would be a must for me too. Not sure I've ever finished a project without needing one. And can the world's largest stash count as one? I guess if you can fit it all in whatever boat, you know, dumped you on the desert island, sure, bring it along. Daisy says, if I already have all the basics, needles, threads, scissors, I could imagine I'd only need a bunch of batiks. That's all I ever need. Well, maybe some penicillin and some rum. Which also cracked me up. Colleen says, rotary cutter, mat, and 6x24 ruler. Christy asked, and this one made me laugh a really, really long time. Christy, thank you. Christy asked, is Johnny Depp a sewing supply? And the rum. And then she says, but seriously, a seam ripper, 6x12 ruler, and lots of scraps. Paula says, my whoopee cushion to sit on so my back won't hurt from all that sewing. And Colleen then came back later and said, I have to change my answer. I didn't see those listed items before. I'd have to admit a seam ripper too. I also like my stiletto and use it all the time, but in a pinch, the seam ripper could pull double duty. My chalk marker for drawing lines or quilting designs, and my iTouch loaded up with podcasts. So thank you to everybody who responded. Oh, to be fair, I should respond too. I guess I would also say, either my Omnigrid 6x24 ruler, or I've actually started working more with Creative Grids rulers. I am discovering I like them a little bit better, only because they have those textured dots on the back so that they don't slip on the fabric. And I actually find I can see them a little bit easier. I think different people just can see different colored lines better. But anyway, I'm looking at my biggest Creative Grids ruler over there. It's not a 6x24. I think it's 6.5 by, that looks like it might be 18-ish. I like the 24-inch longer, so I tend to switch back and forth between the two. I would probably also bring, I don't know, I'd have to think more about it. Lighting is a big issue for me, so I would probably make sure I had my little bendy light that I have stuck to my the side of my sewing machine. I also use a stiletto for an awful lot of things. And, I don't know, do you call it a supply? I use a label maker. I label everything. My fabric, my bins, I label everything. So maybe my label maker would be something else. I'm not sure. I'll have to think more about that. It's funny that I posted the question and I never really actually thought about what my own answer would be. Bad, bad podcaster. All right, so those were all the responses for the episode. I really appreciate everybody that did play along. I'm going to have to keep coming up with more questions like that because that was a lot of fun. Okay, that's really all I have for this week. Like I said, I've just been so distracted and so in such another place. I mean, you can read my blog. I've written about it a little bit there. But I'm really pondering some, you know, kind of life things that I'm working my way into creating an episode about. It's sort of empty nesting. It's also sort of got this whole decluttering theme. Jan posted a comment on an episode that still has me thinking. And actually, that's partly because it really resonated with some things I was sort of thinking about as well, although not in a very specific... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Remember? Distracted. It's not a one-to-one ratio in terms of one-to-one correlation in terms of Jan's comment and what I was thinking about, but they're very connected in my mind. So there is an episode brewing that'll come out, I hope, in August. And hopefully it'll be an interesting one. But in any case, I really do want to say thank you to everybody who did comment. I want to say thanks to Sandy with an I of Quilt Cabana Podcast. And while I will miss your podcast over the summer, I can certainly appreciate your need to take a break while your kids are home and underfoot. And thank you for the shout out, by the way, on your, I don't know if it was your last episode or the one, but one. I'm at the point now where I'm sort of saving up podcasts because I'm going to be on the road for about 30 hours total. So I'm going to be doing a lot of catching up while I'm driving next week. Also, thank you to Quilter Caroline, Quilting Unleashed, Jay, School Quilt, Sharon, Lee, and Lee, by the way, posted a link to another easy way to cut hexagons, and so you will want to run, don't walk, to check her comment on episode 52, in which hexagons attack, because that's where she posted the link to another video. Corrine, who emailed me about Aurifil. Yay, Aurifil, I've made another convert. I love Aurifil. Kathleen, who's our winner, and Marumo, who, by the way, is working on hexagons with a 1-inch template, to which I say, you're nuts, just saying. Jan, and like I said, Jan, I am working on the episode that you suggested, so catch up on your podcast listening now so that you can be with me when I post it in August. Kate and Jane and Mary Sarah and Lynn and Gretchen and Paula and Robin, Very Lazy Daisy and Noni and Daisy, which may or may not be Very Lazy Daisy. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. Some folks travel incognito across various sites with different aliases, so I tend to lose track of who I'm seeing when, so I apologize if I'm thanking you twice. All right, that's not something I should apologize for. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll thank you multiple times. There will most likely be no newsletter out in July unless I get really, really lucky that last week of July when I'm home. And as I said before, please do stay in touch with me. I will miss you all when I'm gone. I really do. I'm not just saying that. I really do miss listeners, and I do miss talking and thinking about quilting. Really being gone from it altogether. Even though I haven't done any in the last couple weeks, I can still look at it and be around it and pet it. And, you know, that makes me still feel like a quilter. When I'm completely removed from it, I feel a little bit off. So please do send me quilty thoughts while I'm gone. And as always, you can find me on Facebook, the Quilting for the Rest of Us Facebook page, and the Big Tent Quilting for the Rest of Us subgroup to the Quiltcast supergroup. You can follow me on Twitter, Sandy Quilt, Sandy with a Y, Quilts with a Z. Also my Gmail address, sandyquilts@gmail.com with a Y and a Z. Not Gmail, but Sandy Quilts. You can join the Quilting for the Rest of Us group on Flickr. There's been a lot of new photos going up lately. I am loving them. Thank you so much. Everybody's doing such wonderful, pretty things. I do also have a blog, which lately I've been writing in slightly more frequently than I've been podcasting, but not burning up the tracks there either. So I will get back to that too. But the quiltingfortherestofus.blogspot.com. Again, you can subscribe to the newsletter. You're not going to get one this month. And you can join the Quilting for the Rest of Us Kiva team or follow me on Goodreads at, again, I'm Sandy Quilts there too. Sandy with a Y, Quilts with a Z. And all of those places you will find linked to from the show notes to this episode, which is www.quiltingfortherestofus.com. I think that's all of it. Thanks again for listening. Stick with me until I resurface. I appreciate it. And meanwhile, all of you other quilty podcasters, I will thank you in advance for keeping me company on my very, very long road trip. I am looking forward to dreaming quilty things while I'm driving and still paying attention to the road, of course. So until next time, go get your quilty on. Quilting for the Rest of Us is dedicated to Shirley. Love you, Mom.